Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this Tuesday, January 8th, 2019. In case you haven't noticed, we've made it through the first 7 days of the new year. Soon it's going to be 8, but the first 7 full days. And you know, when you got 300 and when you have 365 days in a year, then 2019 is still in its infancy. You get the idea. But come later on this month, won't quite be infancy, but still is relatively a new year. I pray that you have been taking it with stride, having some time in prayer, putting the flesh under, doing good. And if you've made resolutions, keeping them so far. They say 90% of all resolutions by February fails. I'm not just talking about the ones where people resolve to work out more or what have you. I believe it's 90% of all of it, isn't it, Jenny?
I think so, something like that.
Here's the thing. I can understand it if it, part of that 90%, I can understand it if it was all just lose weight, go to the gym, or whatever, that kind of stuff. Some of this other stuff, hey, just because you did it the wrong way once, you know, if you sinned, you should ask God to forgive you. If you resolve to go to the gym 3 days a week and 1 week you only go two, guess what? It's not broken. You just start back up next week. Keeping it isn't about being perfect. Keeping it is about, for the most part, generally speaking, you stay on it. Same goes with spiritual resolutions. Let's just say someone makes a resolution that every day they're going to make sure that they read 3 chapters in their Bible, and then they say they're going to pray for at least 30 minutes a day. We'll say for the first few weeks, you do very good. And some days you even read, you may read an extra chapter if they're kind of short. And maybe some days you pray for your extra minutes. But then we'll just say one day you only read, we'll just say 2 chapters. And instead of praying for the 30 minutes, you only prayed like, well, say you prayed for 20. Guess what? Your resolution's not broken. You just got to do better next time. If your idea of your resolution is that you break it and the first time you say you're going to do something, like the prayer Bible example that I said, and one day you do it but don't do it as much as you say, you know, stuff happens. You just do better next time. Resolutions doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. And by the kind of failing they mean, don't it, is that they just quit going.
Yeah.
That's what they mean.
But probably some people, they just give up.
Unless some people think you failed it if you say you're going to go 3 days a week, and then one week you go two.
Yeah, and then they think they failed, so they give up. But really, they didn't fail.
You didn't fail. You just make sure the next week that you go three times. Or in this case, like I said about the Bible, you make sure that tomorrow you read three chapters. And what's the point in this? You make commitments to God, fresh commitments to God about your giving or whatever else it's about to do better spiritually. So you missed a mark one day, one service, whatever. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep ask for God to help you. You know, there's no need to be discouraged about that. Because God will help you. I'm here at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road, across the street from Kmart, as it is still Kmart for now. I won't say what I did last night, because I really hope that they can somehow survive. I really do. I'm not going to get into my experiences as to whether they've been good or bad and what have you with Sears Kmart. I will say, I hope that someone can step in, buy the company, and make it better, and invest in the stores and things of that nature. Because it hurts to see places fail like that. It hurts. It really does. But I'm going to get off of that. So we're across the street from Kmart store, and we're northwest of an Admiral Marathon gas station and southeast of a Disability Network of Mid-Michigan office. And this is to give you an idea of where we are located. All right. Now, give you a couple of reminders and make an announcement. On this program, it's at McDonald's, so I always try to make sure to do a spot for the product. So I want to give you a couple McDonald's reminders. Number one, it has been made official that, barring delays on trucks and what have you, as long as there are no delays, we should be having cheesy bacon fries by January 30th. So that'll be Wednesday, January 30th. Bacon cheese fries. here at McDonald's will begin. I've been told that it'll be in a medium fry. Quite honestly, I'd rather it be in the large so you can still get a good amount of fries. Because, unless me, I guess I've been spoiled when it comes to cheesy fries, because at Invasion, they give me so many fries, it's unreal. They gave me so many fries. Would you say that was a regular McDonald's large fry, or would you call that, or would you call that an enhanced large, Donald's, or what? You would say regular or enhanced?
Yeah, probably enhanced.
So, which would have been the super? Just shy of the super, which is 7, and the larger was 6. So, like you would say 6.5 ounces. So that'd be like the enhanced. There was such a thing. I'd say the regular was 6. The regular, but then the cheesy was enhanced. We'll just see what happens. 'Cause I like it, like when I get something like that, pay a certain price or whatever. I like it. When it's nice and full of stuff, because then it feels like you're getting a good value. Whereas you go somewhere and it's like only 60% full when you go to, or you open your burger and there's a bunch of just bun hanging and you kind of dig down a bit to find your meat. I'm looking at your Burger King with that Whopper. And if they would have known me, come on, you could have given me a double Whopper.
Right.
If you see that someone doesn't want the vegetables, I feel like it should be nothing to just give them the double Whopper on the same bun. Don't you think? Because then that would have filled it, right? A triple Whopper has a bigger bun even, doesn't it? Because for a while, they should have different buns, I feel like, because that was, I don't know what, to, I mean, it was good, but I like my stuff nice and full. I do. Kind of like how, when it comes to, like, a lot of this kind of stuff, I always say go big or go home. Like at those basketball games, for example, the Midland High games, unless it's the playoffs, I won't go to a Midland High home game unless I know the band's going to be there. Because, and even though they're only there for like a little bit, for like in between the JV and varsity, it's really not the same when they're not there. Unfortunately, I've seen a couple of Midland Dow games when the band wasn't there, which I feel like is pretty sad. Don't you think?
Yeah.
It's really just not the same if they're not there. But, and of course, I like to sit, like, the band will sit upstairs, and I like to sit at the top level of the downstairs, because then they're, like, right up above you. And it is just crazy loud. That's how I am. I'm a power guy. I always say go big or go home. Excuse me? But like I was saying, the cheesy bacon fries, come to McDonald's and check them out January 30th. Now, I've been told this is going to be a limited-time offer. And then, number two, these donut fries. They're going to be fry. What does the description say?
I don't know. I don't know. You don't want to tell me about
I don't know if they'll be donut on a stick or what it's exactly it's going to be.
I don't know,
but from what I'm told, they're supposed to be really good. They should be in either very late January or early to mid-February. I'm looking forward to both of these. I really am. Hopefully both of these can stay around. That's my hope. There's another announcement I want to give you. A week from Sunday, I and my mother will both be ministering at Frank Gallardo's church in Saginaw. It's on Stone Street. I don't know the exact address. I know it's somewhat near downtown, slightly east of downtown, I believe, maybe a little south. But I'll make sure to look for the address and let you know tomorrow and then next week. I'm going to sing a song unto the Lord. Good, good Father, in fact. And my mother is going to preach a powerful sermon. Listeners, any of you, I say this because to let you guys know that you are more than welcome to come over there to Saginaw to hear me sing and to listen to my mom preach an amazing message from the Word of God. After we're done, if you would like, we can go to, maybe we could go to a restaurant of your choosing over in Saginaw. I'm not going to give you any hints at all because maybe, for all I know, you might not come if I give them. Because then I'll be like, you said I could pick. And you too, and you mentioned stuff making me think you're going to pick. No. I will say, though, that they do have several pretty good restaurants that I can think of that I wish this town had. I am looking at you, IHOP. I'm looking at you, TGI Fridays. Chili's. I'm looking at you, Popeye's Chicken and Biscuits. Come on. Did you say you had real good stuff at Popeye's?
Yeah, that's good.
It really is. It's at Holland at 75. And I'm going to shut my mouth because I really want it. I mean, as far as on Popeye's, I'm going to get going into the rest of the program. But they really do have some great places to choose from that are chains. I will say these would be some that are on my wish list that now for this next minute, I'm not going to compare it to Detroit. I'm going to compare it to Flint. Flint has a few different ones that Saginaw doesn't have. Specifically, Halo Burger, White Castle, Sonic, and Church's Chicken. And a high concentration of Coney Island-type places. Saginaw doesn't have hardly any of the Coney Islands, do they?
I don't think so.
So I just gave you five different types of places. Four of them were different chains, and one was a type of place.
Flint has some more other diner places too than Saginaw, I feel like. I feel like outside of downtown, Saginaw doesn't have very many diners at all. So, someone away. Other than Bay and Tittabawassee, Saginaw is lacking restaurant wise, I feel like. As almost as bad as Midland. No, I think it is almost as bad as Midland. Outside of Bay and Tittabawassee. What? Yeah, it's it. Between here, Bay City, Saginaw, Flint wins it big time. I would say it'd be like at least 35-21 compared to the second runner-up, for sure. Even if they're into like foreign stuff, Flint's got a lot of that on a certain stretch of road, Corona Road. You remember seeing a lot of those, don't you? Yeah, like you could just tell from seeing that their amount of dining options, it almost makes you think you're in a suburb, doesn't it? That's part of why I wonder if Saginaw was actually by regular 75. If the mall was actually in Zilwaukee and that, if that might have been better because it would have been closer to all that traffic. But then again, there's no big interchange right there, which Flint does have, because they got I-69, two big interstates.
Yeah.
And do you feel like that could be part of the difference right there? And an airport within 2-3 miles?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of why they have so many more options, you think?
Yeah.
And even retail-wise, they have quite a bit more, I feel like. But especially food-wise, they have a lot more. But I'm just going to briefly say I just want to encourage your listeners, please tell others how they can be a part of the show. Tell them to go to blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. After you type that in, you'll see a link that says Living Large. I want you to click on that link. Okay? After you do all that, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. We want you to click on that. And then you'll see a button that says the follow button. We want you to hit that, because then you're going to start getting notified when we get ready to do our shows. For example, tomorrow night, 6:30, same flights. We're going to keep it going and keep charging on God. And here's something. Let me tell you something really cool about this. You can listen to this show on any device that has an internet connection. Your laptop, your iPad, or your smartphone. You know, we always like to say, that Miracle Man, we always love to say, it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your what?
On your smartphone.
Your smartphone. Yep, I just figured I would test my assistant there because... You know, sometimes, you know, you can't just always do the same old, so this is that was the first time I did that, but
it worked,
you know, that's good to see. That's right, it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Just make sure that as you're listening, you're paying attention as you're driving. Please. Just pay attention. Speaking of phones, we have a number where you can call in and be a part of this great show. You can call in and you can talk directly to me.
about generally whatever you want to talk about. We can talk about Noah's Ark. We can talk about generally whatever you want to talk about, as long as it is not politics. If you want to call in and talk about politics, ask my opinion. Yes, I have opinions, but guess what? This isn't the place where we discuss that, because I want to breathe life. Obviously, there's only so much time. There's things I want to do, you know, like bring you guys the word and then discuss sports. That is a passion of mine. And I enjoy doing that. Yeah. But you want to talk about generally anything you want. We got a number you can call in. We can talk. That number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, please, and then press 1. You want to press 1 when you hear the prompt that says, you know, press 1 to go on to the live show. You'll be taken to the call screener, and then Donna is going to pick up the phone, and then she'll let me know that we have a caller, and she'll just ask you where you're from and who you are, where applicable, what you want to talk about. Do you want prayer? Is there something you just want to say to me and address me somehow? Thank me. Criticize me. I welcome your feedback, folks. Your feedback is very valuable. Okay. Let's just know how we can improve the product to make it better. All right. Okay. Just look up. Okay. Here's the plan. We're going to pray. We're going to look at Mark chapter 6. Then we're going to look at Hebrews 11 and the first two verses of 12. Then I'm going to exhort about getting our faith built up. Amen. So, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this radio program. I thank you for these people who have made the choice to take some time out of their busy day and join this program and listen to not what I have to say, but what you have to say through me. I thank you that these listeners have eyes to see, ears to hear the word, and that they have a mind that will be able to understand the word of God, as they will be taught the incorruptible, indestructible word of God, and they will never be the same, never, 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 never. And I just thank you, Father God, that you use me as an oracle tonight. I thank you. I give you permission tonight to interrupt me at any time you want to. And I'll do tonight, Lord, whatever you ask me to do for you. And I confess over the show right now that new equipment comes into this program. Sponsors and partners come to this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come to this program, and most important of all, Jesus, that new converts come in. People decide to give their lives to you listening to this program. And I give you praise and honor and all the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open up your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter 6. Praise God, book of Mark, chapter 6. Just hoping that you could hear the pages turning so that you don't just think I'm being quiet. And while you're finding your spot, folks, let me just encourage you. Be a part of this. Don't just sit there. Don't just sit here and watch me. I sing again tonight like I did last night. You sing with me. As I read the word, you follow along. I get into praying again or something, you go ahead and pray with me. So for the next little while here, whatever I do, you just go ahead and do it with me. All right? We are in Mark chapter 6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard them were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom? What is this wisdom that has been given to him, that he even goes? I mean, that he even does miracles. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, who's here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and is in his own house, is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Verse 7 now. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. "Take nothing for your journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. You can wear sandals, but don't wear an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off of your feet when you leave as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed sick people with oil and healed them. King Herod heard about this and Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers
are at work in him. Others said he is Elijah, and still others claimed he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother, Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came, and his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and his military commanders with the leading men of Galilee. And when the daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I will give it to you. And she promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, I want you to give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and because of his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. They didn't even have time to eat, folks. They didn't have a time to eat. They were too busy doing the work of God. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And then, does it say that? Does it say that his alarm went off?
Probably doesn't.
Probably you should have said no. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that his alarm went off. Oh. He didn't even have an alarm. Doctor, remember I said Dr. Buckley has only been using that alarm since last January. Okay. All right, we're going to go back and read that right. Verse 34 again. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Verse 35. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages." It actually says that. 8 months of a man's wages. Man, that'd be some expensive burgers. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them also. They all ate and were satisfied. Except for Bill. No need it. Oh, it doesn't say that. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. All right, verse 45 now. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he was dismissing the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the 4th watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and he said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, and they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. Just a few more, don't worry, folks. Just a few more verses. And let me just see the time. Just a few more verses, and then we'll look at Hebrews 11, and then I'll exhort you, and then we'll talk about sports, and then you won't be my captives anymore. You know, Dr. Buckley says that kind of stuff sometimes. It's funny. All right, verse 53 now. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and they anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region, and they carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Very quickly now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Come on. This is a boat race. This is a race. Let's see who wins. Me or one of you? Let's go. Oh, you're going to lose. I'm there. You lost. And any of you who says you beat me, I hope it's just by faith, because you might have to teach Bible drills or something, maybe. I'm just fixing something real quick. You know, let me just explain something to you. People who ask, who may ask, you know, why are you so funny all the time, you know, when you're doing your show? To that I say, well, in the Bible there's a verse that says, a merry heart doeth ye good like a medicine. Also, I've also heard, you know, we used to have a sign at my mom's house in Sanford back when my parents lived out there. Remember that sign that said, laughter is the music of the heart? You've heard that before, haven't you? Laughter is the music of the heart. Really is. That's why you might as well learn to laugh. It's good for you. You know? It really is. And I enjoy doing it. All right. If Miracle Man doesn't get going, the time's going to run away on him. So I'm going to get to read. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, uncertain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God. With faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, or heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Just turn the page. Verse 21 now. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned.
By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gathered and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now we're going to read the first two verses of chapter 12, then we're going to exhort for a little bit. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy sent before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. All right. Now, let's talk. Here's the deal. We looked at two chapters tonight. We read text that this show is based off of, Hebrews 11. And we try to read that twice a week on the show. Sometimes lately it's been once because of the holidays and the amount of sports I've had to get through, but I'm going to start making time to make sure that we do it twice. And then when we don't have as much stuff, you know, like if it's real slow on sports or something, then I'll try to get to it all three shows. This show is about faith. It's about miracles. We fully believe in it. I'm believing for my eyesight to be brought back to me that was taken from me when I was 3 months old. That's not why. I do this because I want to help you. If it was just about me, I would have shut this baby down a while ago. It's not about me. Yes, I believe in God for my miracle. Yes, I believe God with you. You believe God with me. Come on. But I want to see you receive what you're believing for from God. That's the bottom line. Now let's discuss some about that sixth chapter of Mark. Okay. So, we had Jesus teaching. Then we had Jesus, you know, going to the other side of the lake. They get to the other side. There's a ton of people. And Jesus decides, I'm going to teach for a while. And they did not have the cell phones with the alarms back then. They back then, I'm assuming they just used the sun to tell time. Because you've heard that a very, very long time ago, that's how people knew what time it was.
Yeah.
Mind you, I'm sure he preached a good at least 3 hours, maybe longer. But then he quit. He had compassion on the people because they had been there for so long and hadn't had any food. Earlier in that story, it said that Jesus and the disciples were so busy that they didn't have time to eat. No, they didn't have time to eat food. Oh, to go to McDonald's? They didn't have McDonald's. I don't know that they would have had time. The line was probably too long. Don't you bet? A bunch of the line would have been too long.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they would have. So they would have just went without. And then finally, and then by the way, they try to go to that quiet, solitary place so they can get rest. But then people are following him. And rather than Jesus going, oh, I wanted a break. He didn't do that. He ministered to them. You know why? They were hungry. No. I'm not talking about for food. They were hungry. They wanted something from Jesus. They wanted to learn from Jesus. That's what they were hungry about. Later on, though, you know, later in the evening, they got fed naturally too, the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes. And I love that miracle because it's the miracle of multiplication. He stretched those 5 loaves of bread. 5 loaves of bread, that's only the one loaf generally feed. You're lucky if it feeds your family of 4 for a week. You're lucky. Between mom and dad's toast, getting ready for work, the kids for their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, if they take lunches to school and what have you, it goes quick. It goes quick, doesn't it?
It does,
you're right. So 5 loaves of bread, 5. And it fed 5,000 people. 5,000 people. Oh, and by the way, 2 fishes? I don't know if they were 2 full-blown fish or if they were 2 pieces of fish. I don't. It doesn't say. I don't know. So we may never know what that 2 fish thing meant because it's easy for us to think 2-piece fish dinner. I feel like it was 2 animal fish. Is that what you bet it was? Could have been either or, because if it was 2 of those animal fish, one of those could have been like a 10-piece, could have been like equal to a 10-piece, don't you think? So it's hard to tell what that means. We may never know. What he meant by that. But the point is, that story is, he did that miracle. Then, I talked about the walking on the water yesterday. In the Mark version, you see, they see Jesus walking on the water, and they're all afraid. And then he just has them get into the boat. But in the John version, I believe, the John version, Peter goes out there and walks on the water to him. And that's where the come on and walk on the water with me comes from. And that you will not fail. Earlier, though, in that chapter, he was somewhere. He could only put his hands on a few sick people, very few, and heal them. You know why only a few? Because they had such doubt and unbelief, which we need to not have. They had so much doubt and unbelief that it was just terrible. And he couldn't work with that. What are you eating? What? What else did you get? What size? Any fries or anything? What? No. Oh, sorry, I was just, talking about something about the food. Nonetheless, folks, so he and the disciples, they just had to leave and go somewhere else because those people's lack of doubt and unbelief. I'm not talking about with the 5,000. I'm talking about earlier in that chapter. But then later, at the end of that chapter, he goes, it talks about how everywhere that Jesus went, after that point, the sick people would just, they could just put their hand on Jesus' cloak and he healed them right there, right then. And all of those sick people were healed. All of them. Not a handful. You were sick, you put your hand on his cloak, you got healed. Instant. Bam, bam, bam. Miracle, miracle. I see. Ears heard. Ears heard. Mute speak. Dead raised. They asked him for it, and that. He just did what do all those miracles. Isn't Jesus so awesome? I just think about it all the time, listeners. I think about it all the time. What would we do if Jesus had not been born? I tell you, it wouldn't be the same. It really wouldn't. I love my Jesus very much. I'm so glad to be a Christian. Okay, Lord, I thank you right now for these listeners who made the choice to be a part of this program tonight. I thank you that they received whatever they had need of tonight. I thank you that even while I take this next few minutes and talk about some sports, that you'll still be able to, that you will still speak through to these people, and that you will continue to just work on the inside of these people. because you can still work. Yes, you can. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, and amen, and amen. All right, so we got the Red Wings at home tonight. Game started at about 7:10. You'll be able to hear it on FM 100.5. Michigan basketball, ranked number 2 in America. They are on the road playing Illinois this evening. You'll be able to hear that on AM 790. I believe starting at 8 o'clock. That's what I'm going to be tuning into is the Michigan basketball game. Since the Red Wings are unfortunately not doing so well, they haven't made the playoffs the last 2 seasons. I'm really hoping that can change quick. I really am. But Michigan's undefeated. Michigan State, they're ranked number 8 right now. They play tonight, I believe. They beat Ohio State Saturday. So that was awesome. They're both doing really great things right now in the Big Ten, Michigan and Michigan State. It's really fun to watch. It really is. It's just awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right. Clemson, Alabama. What happened, Alabama? What happened? Well, I was thinking, oh, Alabama just made a mistake. Their quarterback just threw an interception. Clemson rushed it back for a touchdown. And then Alabama gets back in it, scores a touchdown. Boom, 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 boom. Alabama scores. We're good. I think Alabama's going to win the game now. You already know what that's about, don't you? 44-16, Clemson punishes Alabama. Punishes. That Clemson quarterback, great rushing quarterback. He just took him right through. And that Clemson defense was outstanding, as they only allowed Alabama to score 16 points, all of which were in the first half, mind you. All of them. Clemson with the win. And earlier when I was doing my prep, writing my things down on my laptop, I came up with a question. And then I asked someone this, a good friend of mine who's a big football fan, and I asked him, do you think these run-heavy quarterbacks are part of the near future of college and pro football? He told me, oh yeah, they are. Think you're going to see a lot more running quarterbacks. There's also a chance, though, that some of those defenses that are coming up could soon be able to defend these running quarterbacks rather well. If they don't, you could start seeing these games where 30 and 40 some points per game per team could be a regularity. Have you heard this before? Have you heard this from Vaughn Donut? You have heard it or you haven't? You have heard it? Okay. But, you know, it really could be heading that way. We really could be heading that way in terms of higher scoring games. We keep having these running quarterbacks. Mind you, I think it's cool if it's the right team doing it. Too often it's been the wrong team. Last night, you say, Miracle Man, what does that do to your record for the weekend? I started out undefeated and then crashed, fell on my knees Sunday and Monday. Went from 2-0 to 2-3. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. So you may be thinking, okay, so tomorrow night you're gonna make your NFL picks, right? Yes, I am. And figure I should take a quick little glimpse at two of these matchups, maybe two tonight. Just kind of do an analysis and see what we're at. Here's how I feel. I feel like on the NFC side, the Saints are the only team who is likely safe. By safe, I mean that there is a very good chance that they will not lose at home on Sunday, because they play at home on Sunday. What about the Rams Cowboys? It's hard to tell right now. It could go either way. The Cowboys haven't had the absolute greatest defense this year. It's improved from what it was, but now look at the Rams. They've had some games where the defense didn't do them too many favors either. In some of those games, they were still even able to win, though. But I think it could go either way, to be honest with you. I'm going to make a prediction tomorrow night. I really got to study both of these really well, both teams, Cowboys and Rams, to help me make a prediction. Sunday, Patriots, Chargers. You know, you got a 13-4 Chargers, and then you have a 5-loss Patriots. Maybe it's 4-loss. I forget. Both teams doing very well as of late. Patriots had the first couple of games they had done really well. Then, in the first game, you know, they did really well. Then they lost to someone else, then lost to the Lions. Then they got on a big, 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 huge hot streak. Then they lost a game. Then they lost another game. So I think it's 4 losses. And then they won the last couple of games after that. Closed it up. Mind you, without Josh Gordon, as he is suspended indefinitely. You heard about this, right?
I don't know, but I heard about that.
Yep, he is suspended indefinitely the last couple of weeks. Yeah, because he violated the drug policy. NFL policy. But, mind you. So, yeah. That game, too close to call. I need to look at that real closely.
to make up my mind for that one. And then lastly, Colts Chiefs. What do you say there? See their miracle, man. I would have picked the Chiefs, but the Colts are really making headway. They did an amazing job against Houston on Saturday in Houston. So I need to really make my mind up. I need to do some real good thinking between tonight and tomorrow, because among even the teams that are left, it's really exciting. Can't wait for Saturday evening to get here, because I tell you, for a football fan, Christmas time is still alive through the end of January, at least. You know it. You know it is. Particularly if your team from your area is still in. But then when they're out, then it's like they'll be like, put down the light, take down the tree, it's all over. All right. So until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody. I really enjoy you guys. Thank you so much. So long, everybody.